Alrighty, old business.
Budget.
Okay, does everyone have the stapled copy that Larry has put together for us on the front, capital budget for 2006 is the front page. I think Dale is the other one. There was some discussion at the last meeting as to how you would define capital improvement, maintenance funds, and where do we put this and where do we put that. I liked, after the definitions that Larry came up with, the definition in essence, a single definition either adds permanent value or capacity to the ranch or represents a major investment that will extend the useful life of a ranch asset. That statement is taking together the basic idea of those five points. If we use that as a definition of capital improvement and then working on our expense budget.
The reason to come up with the capital improvement budget was to make it a contrast to a maintenance budget. When the assessments was established for the association, it was set up as a maintenance program, not a construction program or a capital investment program. It was set at $400 a year, and that is to maintain what we have. But when we began to do new construction in graveling roads and these kinds of activities, it puts a drain on the maintenance program so that we don't have enough funds in there to change the roof when we need to change the roof. So when you're thinking about a definition of the capital budget investment, or what the correct word, you need to have that foundation in mind that it's in contrast to a maintenance budget. We should not use our maintenance, those that are earmarked for a maintenance budget, on construction items.
Let me further clarify that a little bit, Val, if I may. True, the budget that we have is a maintenance budget. And it was for maintaining the 2,000 acres that DSROA owns. And really, we could simplify this by saying that almost anything that happens on the cabins, DSROA, and those things are legitimate in the existing DSROA budget. The reason I started screaming about this is because somebody wanted to talk about a $300,000 gravel job to improve my lot over in Slide Canyon, and our maintenance budget was never set up to build roads, gravel roads, in $300,000 worth of stuff in on the ranch. And so we start talking, hey, you've got to have a capital improvement budget that is funded separate and apart from the maintenance budget. We cannot take the maintenance budget and take $30,000 or $40,000 out of it to surface somebody's road. So that's where the main thing was. And I hate to split hairs on the definition and whether it puts a roof on a cabin or whether it doesn't, I think all of that still comes out of the same one budget, and not try to define the thing. The main reason for this discussion came up is, oh, somebody wants to do a $100,000 water system someplace, that cannot come out of our maintenance budget. And if they're doing graveling and crushing and doing these things, it cannot come out of this. So that was the simple definition at one time was, whatever's happening as far as the barn or as far as the buildings, as far as this, it's a form of maintenance and we all join in that improvement. It's the upgrading of property values that we have no business really helping out on.
And what we've spent so far seems to me, you know, as a ranch, is to basically to maintain access to the upper cabins, where most of our gravel money went. And, of course, the water system was mandated. We had no choice about that. That had to be upgraded. So those definitely were not maintenance items. They were
capital improvements. That had to be paid for out of our assessments and out of the $400 come up. They were paid for the sale of that
lot. Yeah.
So all that gravel and all that stuff was paid for out of the sale of that on the lot. If you want to look at it that way, they were all in the same account. But there's no way feasible on this old earth that we could have done that without knowing all that.
And I agree with you that the other areas other than to, I mean, for anything that benefits just for individual members, I think that's got to come out of another situation other than maintenance money. And the members themselves that are benefiting from it should bear the brunt of that cost. So I think we're all agreeing on that.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a good explanation. So.
Okay. On this sheet, just a real quick look at, the last time when we had met, we were talking about income and expenses. What kinds of things did we feel needed to be addressed at the ranch? What kinds of things were, as we call it, like a wish list that we wish that we could have? And Barbara had submitted some information to us, and that is also on this particular wish list. If you also look at the third page here, this is how we were going through the budget the last meeting. And Larry put together here instead of, okay, we have the budget proposed for 2005 in the first column, and the other one was the actual or projected. He has the figures updated on this particular column, and that's how we were actually coming up with a proposed budget in the third column.
I'm going to stress that that was my proposal. Nobody should.
That's just what you're
right.
You handed
yeah.
out.
Yeah, that was my suggestion based on what we have spent this year and looking back over the last history. So.
And that went along with the other copies that we had the other meeting. We were looking at, was it 2002, 3, and 4?
Right.
Also, in terms of income and expenses. Is there. Do you want to go ahead and start looking at what we're talking about here? Barbara, jump in. This is a all-together look at how we have this broken down in agreement as to the amount of approved, perhaps, for the next budget for expenses.
I would just point out that given that when we talked last time, we agreed to move the wildlife income and a couple of the other, some of the donations and what have you, into the capital improvement side. Doing that, this proposed budget is essentially balanced. It's about within $160 of our projected income. So we may move money around, but there's not going to be a lot of new spending given the kind of income that we're planning on. And I think the other thing we agreed is that money is beyond this $125,000, one-time monies that may come in, we would like to earmark into the capital improvement fund if we can. Now, obviously, things like the grader breaks down and we have to, we'll either have to make some adjustments within these expenditure categories or we'll have to come up with other kinds of monies to do it. So. But that was the general philosophy that I think we just talked about. I don't want to be perceived as trying to short-circuit the board's discretionary power and coming up with a suggested budget. This was simply, as I looked at what we had been spending over the last two or three years and what we had spent this year, it seemed to me like this was about what it normally costs us to maintain our activities at the ranch, and that's how I came up with these numbers. But they are certainly one person's view, and the board should feel every liberty to discuss, change, modify as soon as you see fit.
I have a question on the assessments. We're more likely to hit the 110 because last year we had some assessments come in early. Is that why we only had 106 come in? Or no, that was projected. Let's see.
Well, that was the actual as of the 28th of November.
Yeah, that's what came in.
That's what came in.
And we budgeted 110.
So we are likely to get the 110 in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's my question.
I actually looked over what Larry did here, and I really agree with what he's done. I'd say both accept it as it is and move on from it.
Should we have any discussion, as we had discussion at the last meeting, in terms of the categories?
We need to go on with discussion.
Well, could you clarify for me one more time that wildlife, the ones that are going to capital improvement, wildlife?
Wildlife income, which we expect will be somewhere around $3,000 plus over the next year. We talked about the need to use that money to reinvest. Now, one of the concerns that I have is that in Barbara's wish list, at least, we don't have any wildlife investments, and I'd like to see
it. Well, I kind of thought that all of you were trying to run up with the wish list. I mean, like,
that's
everybody
true.
Was supposed to go up with wish list, and everybody was supposed to listen.
Right.
I thought I was just...
But I just want to make sure that the wish list was that we worked on longer. But yeah, what we were going to move was we expect about $800 in cabin maintenance donations, with any interest income that we earn, any road donations, and the wildlife income, we would shift over to capital improvement. Which, back on the first page, just to give you some idea of what we're talking about, if there's the number we had at the last meeting was somewhere around 9,200 in the bank capital improvement right now. Today we learned it's 9,500. So there's another 1,200 or so in wildlife income and these other sources. So we've got somewhere around 13,000, 13,500 available for capital improvement projects.
So that's the wildlife income is, we expect that to go down. I know a year before last we got almost $6,000. Then last year it dropped down to
$3,293
this year.
Is that 3,200 or so is about the highest we got 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, is it? Okay, so. But the expectation is a downward trend.
That kind of builds up the status, according to what I understand. They haven't issued as many permits as they have been.
Okay.
So they have cut back on those.
I don't know if this is the place to. You're at your question, Larry, about what can we do for the wildlife. Larry, if we.
One thing I think we can do. Where we're mixed in and out with BLM, ground, some of the other agencies have programs that they will match funds. So if we say we'll put of our $3,000, we may say we'll put $500 or $750 into this.
For example,
matching
that
project.
That's by lot 74 and 5. If we were to do that retention kind of water thing. Wildlife could participate in, would that get us more money in return for?
We're not going to be able to get any more money out of the mule deer. This has always been on mule deer tags. We can't really do anything unless we want to go plant a couple hundred acres of alfalfa and away on the water.
So providing like another pond would not do it then, or the Red Reservoir thing?
The only way we can increase it is by adding other programs and doing something with turkey and something with...
What are those somethings? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out.
We could sponsor a turkey hunt, maybe bring in two or three groups of turkey hunters in April, May.
So you're talking about ways of increasing the income. I think he's talking about ways of spending the money.
Well, for improvement.
Yeah.
To make improvements...
So wildlife.
To wildlife. I mean, we were just talking about putting the capital improvement fund to do that.
Right.
But what then would we do
proactively would be to take, maybe some of this money and plant food plots, go into some of the little, even those dry pond areas, and seed the bottom of them with, I don't know exactly what the right thing is, a pile of corn or a milo or
something would be
something.
Bring more wildlife to those spots.
And then, you know, you may spend $500 on seed, but then we advertise or book two or three or four turkey hunters that come in and pay $500 a piece, so we've taken our $500 expense and brought in a $2,000 income.
So in this budget thing, are we supposed to be, when we're talking about moving money towards capital improvement, are we supposed to be identifying these kind of things now, or is that something?
I think we're going toward category, and it should be in the category, and then finish the operating budget, then move to capital. Alrighty. 2005 budget for cabin maintenance was $5,000. We actually spent $8,300. Proposed budget is to spend again equal to last year's or this actual 2005.
Okay, I have a question on that. I don't know that we should budget it in there, but I don't know because we did some roof repairs and things like that, but I don't think we're going to go to the same expense if we do have some that has to be done. But if that's what the cabin maintenance is, because we did go over that quite a bit, you know, and all of that in all those categories we went over. But we can't just keep bumping our budget up to it. So we have to. There were things that happened that are a one-time thing, such as metal roofs on the garden cabin, that type of stuff that was expended. But we don't want to keep bumping the budget up to make that. We need to keep the budget in line to then and then have those for the necessary or those types of things like tractor tires. We need to have a backup reserve fund so we don't end up with $106 at the end. So we have a reserve fund when the tire goes out. We have that fund to put in there. I don't think that we need to budget in though that high, because if you add those all together, that's a lot of money just on cabin. I think that is
Cabin 2 and 3 definitely have to have the refund.
And we can do that, but I'm saying we need that into a reserve fund, not just for that, but for emergency, that type of stuff, but not just for cabin maintenance. I don't know.
I just think that over the past 4 or 5 years, we've seen a vast improvement in the cabin situation because they were old and they were at the point that they had to be some improvements put into them. You know, we had to get new bridges and stoves, and we had to do new floors and decks, and we had to do new roofs, and we had to paint and that. And the project is not done. There is still at least one or two more years of work that needs to be done.
Are we looking at the 5-year plan for the cabins in terms of?
We have to be able to do that 5-year plan because we have that money. But as far as what Sean is saying there, the budget going up, I think that's just because you're right in saying we need an overflow. We need somewhere. We need a cushion. I think is what you're saying. Mm-hmm. We need a cushion so that we've got some, you know, these unexpected things.
Emergency. When you talk about the cushion and the emergency, you know, I think it's foolishness if we would operate on just maintenance, you know, status quo. I think that if all the cabins were winterized is one of the items, or if all of them were modernized or to use dishes, they're different things. I think that Barbara could be delighted if she had $2,000 a cabin to bring them up to a more competitive or a nicer standard. And are we going to continue to operate on a shoestring forever? We have. But I think that if the opportunity presents itself, that it would be nice if we had an emergency fund or a budget or had a little fat that we could draw on to make improvements rich. Maybe everybody's satisfied with it just like it is, but I really think that our membership would be delighted if they could see an upgrade and a little nicer facilities than we have there now.
And I agree with you 100% on that, Dale. And I think that's the reason, Charlie, that the focus has been cabin maintenance. And I know you say that's a lot of money to spend in cabins, but I think that has been our focus because the majority of the members are looking at the cabins and going, you know, it's time to get these things fixed up. And we've had, you know, non-members coming in and a lot of new people coming in, and we need to bring them up to lift. I think the cabins and the roads have been our two main focuses. You know, we've let some of the other things maybe slide a little bit, but you know, we've done the best we can with the money we have.
I think the question we need to ask, what would the, how would we look at things if we had another $30,000? If we had another $50,000, if we sold that one over at Johnny Brown that's been talked about for 10 years. Is it this board's desire or responsibility or excitement to say, hey, it's time that we move to a little bit different plane than we are? Do our members want us? You know, maybe it's immaterial what we may want, but do it what our members like for us to work on a little fatter budget than we've been scraping by on year after year after year. And it's time now to do a little renovation, and sometimes that's painful, but it has to happen sometimes in accommodations like this. And so I would like to see us encourage the budget not to be just bare bones with everything that we can cut out. And there are many people in the questionnaires and stuff that go, yeah, stupid, stay within your budget and cut something else out. That's been done. And I think that we need to look at a little bit more in our budget, and to go ahead and plan that if we have an emergency in the next year or two, that we have some funding and we've done our planning so that it's available. So I'd like to see us move beyond the bare bones arrangement and take pressure off of the management, take pressure off of just scrape by on everything that we're doing. And I believe that's available to us if we want to make that kind of a decision.
Are you proposing an assessment increase?
Yeah.
Then where would the money come from to do what you're suggesting?
And aren't we today, we have to deal with the reality of what we have right now today. And then, yes, if we can earn that other money, then we can talk about how to spend it and prioritize it. And we can plan to how to maybe earn that money. But as of today, we don't have that money. So don't we have to work at this budget with what we know we'll have for sure today?
Okay. Let me just, I made this the wrong time on your agenda. The reason I ask all of you to consider talking about the program for 06 and staffing for 06 ahead of budget for 06 is because I think there's a linkage there. We've talked again for a few years about the rental pool. Are we going to do something on the rental pool? And if we are, you see, what's in the budget right now is to rent one cabin for 3 weeks. That's a total income for the cabin thing, is to rent one cabin for 3 weeks. $1,500. If we were doing a little bit more aggressive planning, and we've got to do that today, Phil. We can't wait till July and then say, oh, by the way, let's raise more money. I think now is the time we need to talk about our overall plan, and then there's certain things that we need to do to realize that.
I'm just saying not to speculate on the overall plan. I mean, and so today we have an assessment to send out. We're expecting so much money. And then I'm not opposed to working on whatever these ideas are, but we got to cover the basics. And I'm saying, let's put out item by item. Let's cover the basics. And then your kind of discussion on expansion or utilization or ways of generating money, I don't think anybody's opposed to discussing and coming up with those ways, and I know they can't be put off till the middle of next summer. But I'm saying we have to deal with reality right now, just today, just the way it is. We can't say, well, we're going to raise this much money on this kind of a program. Until we've raised that much money on those kinds of programs, then we look at, okay, now we got the money in hand, how do we want to spend it?
You've got a blueprint and plan ahead. And this same board basically has been doing this now for 15 months. And they maybe just do not want to raise additional funds. They do not want to look at the possibilities. But it's not going to happen unless the board decides that we do have a plan. And this is the way we put the plan into action. And the cabins are just one of the good things. Are we going to have a rental program? We haven't developed one in the last 2 or 3 years. Maybe we won't now.
Well, I don't think
but I think what he's saying, and that's exactly what he's saying, if those are issues that need to be addressed, for instance, we talked about the horse program and dissolving it for what the ranch is responsible for. Now, I had asked from the input at the last meeting from Val to bring that information to us. Perhaps we could drop what we are responsible for completely, and we're not going to make $10,000 or whatever amount. But in your process, did you bring something to the table today for that?
I have not.
Okay.
But I think
that's
generally speaking, that the budget as it's written is going to be a status quo. The items of income and the items of expenditure are going to balance, and we're going to go, and we have that drawn up here in front of us. But I believe that what is concerning to Dale and to me and to others is that we have cabin facility and horse facility available there, that if the board would turn somebody loose, that could come up with another $20,000 or $30,000 that would pad this budget.
And I think nobody's saying don't look at that. I think we're just saying let's do the status quo right today, and then hey, okay, let's discuss the Pacific cabin thing and get it done next month instead of going, or the horse thing by February, or those things. But we can't. I think where we get in conflict is there's those of us that say, yeah, those ideas sound great. I mean, in general, you know, there's a possibility. Yeah. But we don't want to stake making a budget based on those projections. We want to do a budget based on reality, and then we can make projections and we can prove ourselves in those projections. And then if we have the results, then it's a bonus, and then we can build upon it, you know. Nobody's opposed to that, but you can't project it without actually having happened or actually having a specific plan. Brent's brought that up. So it's not an objection to the idea of talking about coming up with a plan, doing it. We're not saying we're not going to do that. We're just saying this is where we're at. Let's start here. And let's go. The sky's the limit.
If this year we are able to do that so that we generate an extra $20,000 a year, the next year then maybe part of that can be included into the budget. But until we are to the point we know that it's going to be there, you know, instead of speculating, it's I think also it's wrong to budget it as such until we have it. I'm in agreement for looking at ways to earn money, but not to include it until we have that in process.
And have discussion on that.
Yeah, and have discussion on that.
Brent had the floor.
This talk in generalities really just kind of drives me crazy. A year ago in November, I got up and made an impassioned plea to you, Dale, because you were president of the board, to present a master plan of what you wanted to do for the ranch. And nothing ever got done. And we always talk about generalities. Well, how would we like to make this, or how would we like to do this? And I'll be honest with you, last meeting, and I was pretty unfair to Shauna. I said something that wasn't kind, and she was talking about something, and I said, well, you know, that was 30 minutes of my time I'll never get back. And I apologize for that, because I could have gotten up and left the room, quite honestly. But the thing about it is I got lost last meeting. Val was talking about making money and fixing a gate and building all this stuff. You know what? Here, I'm going to tell you guys exactly the same thing I used to tell the firefighters who worked for me. They come in with all these great ideas, and then they'd expect me to do the paperwork and do the legwork and do all the stuff. And I would tell them that every one of them the same thing. You come back to me with this in writing, showing me how I'm going to do it, and then I'll play devil's advocate, and then I'll take this to the chief, and we'll try to sell this thing. You know how many people I had come back? One. And I had thousands of suggestions made to me, but one guy went out and did it. all I've heard is, how would you like to do this? How would you like to do this? But I've never yet seen anything on paper. Dale, I'm sure your brain is absolutely full of everything that you want to do. But unless we can see it on paper, we'll never get it done. I'm completely in agreement with Val on the horses. I think that Val, that ought to be your job next year. I think that the horses ought to be, you find the wrangler, you get it working, and take it and run with it. And then, quite honestly, I think that Val, if Val does all that work, we reward Val some way. Or if some member wants to take these projects on, we reward them some way.
Okay, and following through on that, is it okay if I do a $25,000 cabin rental program this next year?
I'll be happy to. If you do that and you satisfy, you need it. And I'm going to just tell you my feeling.
Yep.
As long as you do, we do it this way. Number one is we're legal, meaning we're legal with Kane County, we're legal with the state of Utah, we're legal with the federal government. And I don't know what the rules are. You're in the hotel motel business, you know. But are we going to have to comply with state and local standards in relation to safety and all of those things? You do that, members don't get hurt by it, meaning that members don't get themselves pushed out of the way so a non-member can rent the cabin out. I'm not in disagreement with that. And the third thing is, and I look at it this way, is that part of this expenditure thing is when we rent to non-members, as long as we keep in mind that they are going to require a greater amount of, I don't want to call it supervision, let's say that they're not going to be as willing to clean the cabin afterwards, so we're going to have to budget in additional staff. If you can put together something, I told you in email and to your face, I support that. I have no problem supporting that. I have a problem with people just coming and talking in generalities to me. I need to have specifics.
Well, that's why I've been specific on dollars amount. If Val or somebody says, hey, I'll put up the $5,000 for a full-time wrangler during the five-month season, and I will do it on these basis. More people will have fun, more people will ride horses, and it will be an exciting thing for Deer Springs. Is the board willing to allow somebody to subsidize or to front-end a wrangler position? It's impossible and it's unfair to expect Barbara to drive from St. George to come over and take a two-hour horseback ride. She's told me that she's not going to do it, that it just isn't working. We all know that. And to try and have her do that is, I think the board needs to make some decisions. And I think the horse program can be, has been, and I think the cabins has been. We're not plowing new ground. We're doing things that we've done for years, and the demand is there. The demand is there, the opportunity is there. We can say, gee, let's not do anything for another year or two.
No, Dale, nobody's saying that. You keep saying that we're saying that. We're not.
In other words, in order to...
There's been crying and aggravation all last year.
Well, we
want a
plan.
May I make a suggestion in terms of a strategy? I think Val's observation is absolutely right. The budget that's proposed here is absolutely status quo, bare minimum maintenance kinds of stuff. There's nothing new here. But if we could approach this in three tiers, then maybe we can approve a bare bones maintenance operating budget that says, okay, given what we are pretty confident the revenue picture is going to look like at a minimum, will that meet our needs and how will those monies be allocated? And then we can move to this issue of program changes in the program, changes in ways it'll generate money, and we can link that then to, we can also take a look then at our capital funds and say, okay, how can we invest those capital funds so that they will most productively supplement or promote that kind of a program. But if we took that a couple steps, we may be able to move through this a little more quickly.
I think that's the way. Rather than it just seems like we're killing the first phase trying to get to the second and third. Let's do the first phase. Like, I like your suggestion there. It makes it very clear in my own mind how to move through.
But that doesn't mean we're not ready and willing to accept some of your proposals. But in the acceptance, it has to be something that we're all aware of, and you present something to the board. Horses? Cabin?
I can support the notion of having a cabin rental program, but I think we need to recognize the board doesn't have any cabin time. We have 300 members. They each have 2 weeks. Divide that 600 weeks into cabin time. You divide that by the 10 cabins. It belongs to the members, not to us. So there's got to be a program that the members want to participate in, and essentially say, here, you can use my cabin time to do this.
Right.
And then I think that some of the issues of rent raise are relevant. I'm really concerned about some of the safety issues in some of the cabins, but that those can be addressed with our capital improvement funds if that's the direction we choose to pursue.
So I suggest that when we get to those committees, the board, the committee chairs, that they'll be allowed to do that type of thing, and maybe be the chair, maybe on the cabin committee, bring a program together.
Or create another type of committee to encompass his ideas about
so that they can
another type. Now, see, we talked about fundraising last time, too. Some other category, because I think there should be the maintenance on the cabins should be in itself a very important situation. But that doesn't mean the committees can't work together in terms of the needs. Because I think it's very important to note what Brent has spoken to different individuals in order to go on the basis of having a cabin rental pool to people outside of the membership. There are criteria that must be met, safety, updated, upkept, everything in the cabins, or we're not going to be able to do it, period.
Sure, but that's what they need.
That may be one reason that we should be as cautious about safety features for our members, maybe even more so, that you as the president of the board or the group of us should be more concerned about the comfort and the safety of our members as we are about the general public.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and that's
our responsibility.
Why I believe the $8,300 for the proposed budget as to what it was this year projected, I think that should be something that is accepted. At this level, if something else comes in, I don't think that should be an area that we mince on and lose money.
Back into the cabins, right?
It should be.
Well, I'm not rather than money take it out. I'm saying don't put it in, particularly just for cabin maintenance, but to put that in more of a slush fund that we need. Okay, we need to take that money and do a roof. Okay, come in and say we need a metal roof for this house. You know, this is what it's going to cost. Yes, take that money out of here. We need to have this, but not to budget it just as maintenance, because you don't want you to stick a budget in there. You don't.
Just like the system,
you add the fees to it, and whoever takes the
cabin
back out.
As the chairman of the cabin committee, I would really like to see every member of the board do the tour with us this year, and that we do every cabin, do it in April before we open the season. I'd have every member of the board go through the cabin. We identify everything that we see that's substandard in the cabin.
That needs to be done.
Needs to be done to make it first safe, and secondly, more usable, more comfortable. And we come up with a list of these items. We come up with a budget based on what we see.
And we've been doing that for 2 years.
And we've been doing that, but we haven't had the whole board. We've only had a few people.
Some of these board members are not even aware that
you're
doing that.
But we go through there each spring, and everybody on the board should be there, so we have a really good idea of what we're all talking. The same thing. We're all talking apples, not apples and oranges and bananas.
And at the last meeting, Ken, what we had kind of come up with also some ideas was, instead of saying, Barbara, you can spend $1,000 on that roof, you can spend $200 on this, we were looking at it as $8,300, and where there is a need because there's a hole in the roof or this or that, this is the money allocated for that area, so you were not defined in a specific unit. So therefore, if it needed to be done, at this point, this is the amount of money we allocated for it, and that was better working for her as the ranch manager to be able to keep those things updated and fixed as needed.
Okay, so I agree. What I hear Dale saying is he wants to spend more than $8,300, and Shaw's saying she wants to spend less, or at least identify.
I just want to categorize the difference.
And what I hear Larry saying is this is a category, this is projected upon her, that, you know, this is what we can do and what Candy's saying is, and then we'll prioritize it for the most needy need in the cabin. So, he'd like more, she'd like less per se, maybe not.
I'm just saying, well, we got to identify it.
And it is identified without our spring inspection or, you know, I mean, we could come up with some numbers and graphs saying, okay, what do two roofs cost? What does another fridge or range cost? I mean, we could probably come up with and justify it.
But still, on the same token, it was just like this guy, Jim, and he said, if I knew what you guys needed for the cabins, and I would be willing to donate that money. So we could get that other money by people who want to donate. You say, we need a roof on this cabin, and you can say, okay, those people who use the cabins, yeah, good for you. We have raised this much money. Would you mind donating?
But right now, we don't have, I mean, we can identify those, put it out there, and see what we get. But right now, we have to go on the supposition that this is our money, this is what we can budget.
But I don't like $106 no leeway, because if we got a tractor trailer that's going out, we got to have
it. That's why last year, you know, you were wondering about the budget. This is just, this is our best estimate. It is not a, what's the other word, allowance. This is not an allowance schedule, to where there's definitely, we cannot spend a dime more than that. That through the year, this budget is a working budget. That's the principle. It will be adjusted. It's not a set in stone thing. And so we're just trying to find, okay, this is probably what we're going to spend. But heck, if we had a big hole, the wind blew three roofs off, we won't spend as much in some other category to subsidize that because we had to. That's the way we should look at it.
So this is what we're doing. Sometimes you take from one area, as we had done in the past, and stop the roads, and then use that money to another particular area that we need it. Now, let me just throw in right here. If you go down the fourth one where it says management, I have discussed with my husband, I will not be taking $200 a month, period, as president. I will not be taking any money. I want this money turned back into the ranch, and if you want to use 200 times 12 is $2,400 and say that's your emergency fund that you need, fine. Otherwise, I would like to have taken that and said, do something specific with a cabin, roof, this or that. That's
the
greater.
Stone monument to
But I'm saying that's what I would like to do. My husband and I discussed it. So we talk about money, where it's coming from, where it's going, right then and there. That if it's $2,400 or $2,000, I don't care what it is, I will not be taking any money from the ranch, period. So you can allot it at that point and say it's that. I don't care how you do it, but it's going to go right back in. I don't care if I paid $500 for that tractor, lawnmower, you paid me $400 so far. It went right back in. I'm not taking any money from the ranch, period. So if you want that kind of money, a little slush fund right here, it's there.
Well, I would observe also that we do have $23,000 plus in the bank right now. I don't think we're going to spend all
that. Well, I would observe that you've got $2,600 budgeted for greater than tractor repairs, which can mean a tire or two. So we've already got that saved in a spot.
Can we maybe run through this, look at the bare bones of what we have, because the basic principle that I understand is we really and truly do want to come up at the end with not excess amounts of money. But how can we spend it? How can we best spend it? As at the last meeting, we allotted $2,000 for one thing for Barbara to do, $1,500 for another to do, because we knew it was there and it was necessary to be done. Now, I agree that the ideas that are presented, whether it be horses or cabins or fixing the cabin, I think it's phenomenal, but we do have a job. We need to get through this. If you can accept it at this level, that doesn't mean we can't come back and review this, but this must be completed, ready for the membership for December 17th, mailed out with the assessment due. So if we can look at this, the budget is for 2005, the projected or actual at this point, 2005, and what we propose, can we accept it at this level? Do we want to increase or decrease, and how that's going to affect that budget? And that's what I would like to address at this point.
One question. Do we want to consider taking any of this money that we have, or do we know our total tax liability? Yes, we don't, do we? And that's probably why we can't do anything with it. I mean, to incorporate into this may be a priority.
Could you incorporate any of that?
Any of?
I think he's talking about the $23,000 that we have.
Uh-huh, that we have.
That we have presently. Isn't that part of what?
So we have not. This is just accounting for the expenditure of the dues that's coming in.
That's right. Yeah, the capital, this doesn't include any of the capital funds or the capital projects.
I think we've got to put that capital improvement stuff in an offshore bank.
Maybe.
Well, I think some of that was like on Barb's wish list. Well, I'm just saying, for because we did, and we have talked about like fixing the barn. We've talked about the siding on the ranch house, and those are things that are still part of what we need to do, perhaps even today, to address the $23,000 and how we're going to spend that money at the end of the year.
Would this be on your level two, Larry, that you were suggesting to us at discussion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, in the interest of getting through this, I would like to say that in general, I would move that we suggest Larry's way of attacking this problem. That today that we approve on a level one basis the budget, and that we make a list, perhaps before we leave today, of those items that we discuss, to include for sure horses and cabins, Dale and... their ideas, and then we title that level two discussions, and we then next month talk about using this money after we know our tax liability as well. And that would be my motion. Is my motion too long?
No. It's not like that, though.
Okay.
You're moving that the budget be approved as listed here under the proposed budget column, and that we come back next month with the capital improvement discussion.
Well, in a general thing, I'm saying we accept this in the framework that you made of three levels of money budgeting, and that we accept this as our level one, the basic budget, and that we move on to level two next month, and that we for sure list Val Cram horse things and Dale Clarkson cabin and any others that seem very pertinent, and then we discuss those programs for sure next month, including what to do with any excess, and that we know what our tax liability is.
Can you include level three?
And then I forgot what level three was. Is that the capital improvement? Well, or what was the...
Yeah, there's a question, I think, Dale's point about the program. I would agree that the program should drive the capital investments. Capital investments are intended to expand capacity, to extend life, and we ought to take what scarce dollars we have on capital improvements, and we ought to be using, following a specific plan, saying this is where we want the ranch to be, these are the kinds of activities we want engaged in. That kind of thinking should drive how we spend those money.
And is that level two you were talking about? Yeah. I lost track of what the difference between level two and three was. I don't know if there is a three.
I'm not sure there is a three. It's more, let's come up with a plan.
And I don't want to have Dale feel I'm shorting his effort. I would love to have that input, Dale and Val. I'm just saying, let's do the basics, and then let's for sure put this on the agenda. And then if you would please come with as close as you can your specifics on your programs, then we can hear and move ahead, because I don't think we're opposed to that. That's my motion.
Right, there's a motion on the floor to move to work through the general budget as proposed with the paperwork in front of you, a general basis, and then move to a level two in the next meeting, looking at capital improvement, investments, program, concerning perhaps horses, cabins, etc. Motion's on the floor. Will anyone second it?
I'll second the motion.
It's been seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Was that unanimous in favor?
Did you vote?
I didn't hear any.
There was one abstention.
No, I didn't abstain.
Oh, I asked you.
No.
Okay.
If there's no, when you say no votes and there's a silence in the room, it's unanimous.
Okay.
Right. If you're going to abstain, then you need to do it.
Okay.
All righty. Let's look at this. So we're accepting it right now, or we're going to go through it, right?
No, we're accepting
it. So we're accepting it. Okay. All right.
Realizing that it's a proposed working budget. It's a proposed.
That's right. Because to me, what it just said is that Larry's pretty well divided up the best that he can do, and he's done it. We're not going to stay in the bounds anyway, so it really doesn't matter. Why do we have a budget?
The starting point.
It's okay. It's starting there. But he did a good job.
Could I raise one issue, though, in this, and that is the property tax issue that I've suggested a couple times before. We just wrote a check for $5,500 for property taxes. I have... The check that you just... that's on this check register was for $5,500, which I'm assuming is the...
Speak up.
Actually, less than what we have budgeted for.
But I think the rest of it is for probably for personal property and those kinds of things. As I have, in my professional capacity, gone around the state and talked to county assessors in other parts of the state of Utah, virtually every one of them does not levy a property tax on common property owned by associations such as ours. That the value of that property is assumed to be reflected in the value of the memberships or ownerships of the association members. For example, I own a lot in Provo. It's a part of a small subdivision of 5 lots. We have 3.5 acres of common ground. The assessed value on the common ground is 0 because it is assumed that the lots have to reflect the fact that we have that 3.5 acres of common ground. Now, for some reason, and I'm not sure of all the history or the rationale for this, but we have made a different arrangement with Kane County, and the lots are not valued at market value, and the association common ground is taxed separately. If we went to Kane County and said, we want you to treat us like you do, like all the other counties do, that would give us an extra $5,000 to $6,000 a year. And now Dale has indicated in an email to me in the past that there's a good reason why we haven't done that. And so I'd be interested in hearing the good reason, because absent the good reason, I'd like to have that $5,000. So
I think go ahead and have the members pay an extra $30,000 by changing the tax base on everything to save the $5,000 in the association. It's up to you.
He didn't understand. What happened was the association paid the $5,000 on the 2,000 acres. So every property owner has a membership and the land. So half of the value of your land is actually in the membership. We don't pay taxes on that half. So our taxes are very low on our property. If they taxed us for the whole amount, we would be paying full on our piece of the property at base value, which could be keep going up to the members. The $5,000 that we give up as a membership actually would not set all of the taxes that we'd have to pay individually.
What would the proportion kind of confuse the issue? There are values in our membership, values of the land. But even the land right now is probably under market value. I think the county would love to double our individual taxes, which takes it up to $60,000, and they would they might. I doubt if they're going to take the tax off of the area. It's under a green belt, with the exception of the building areas and their taxation on those things. So every time I've ever dealt with county assessors, the homeowners come out on the short end. So I think we go in and tell them, they'll say, okay, now let's see, we'll reevaluate all your buildings and your trails and your things, and we'll up that, we'll take away the green belt protection that you have on some of your land, and we'll still come back and charge the members another $30,000 for to be spread between the group of them. So yeah, I think that you'd expect our individual taxes to double. And we've fought them on a price and held the taxes down to a low position, which that's what the victory want. But I think that as a group, as Deer Springs Ranch, all the members will be penalized by shaking the tree at this point. It takes it out of this little budget here, but this little budget is owned by the 300 members.
And oh, I understand.
300 members to say, oh, let's go ahead and pay $5,000 here instead of $30,000 between the whole group of us.
Well, I understand fully that if we approach the county, that it means that the membership, the property taxes paid by individual members will go up. By how much, given the assessed value on my property, is about half of what the market value is. So I would not feel uncomfortable if Kane County got it right and put it at market value. But I recognize that means my taxes would double. That's why I raised the issue here with the board, because I think it's something we need to agree to.
I think if they reassess the membership 2,000 acres, they may say, okay, we're gonna not tax you as an association on these portions at all. Your airstrip ground, we're gonna tax you $15,000 because that's not cattle feed, that's not green belt, that's it.
But it's part of the common ground, and therefore it wouldn't be taxed to the association.
They would tax you. It no longer falls under green belt.
Right. It's not an issue of green belt. It's the fact that nobody can buy that land. It doesn't have a market value. And the reason it doesn't have a market value is it's got 300 owners. But the value of my property as an individual owner is enhanced because of that 2,000 acres in the end. And so the reason my property is worth $20,000 to $25,000 for my 20 acres is precisely because of the ranch assets that are out there. Well, so the value, the true market value of my lot reflects the fact that it's part of Deer Springs Ranch. So if I'm paying taxes on the market value of my lot, Deer Springs Ranch shouldn't be paying taxes. Mm-hmm. That reasoning prevails in virtually every county in the state.
And I think another thing, you said that the common area was owned by 300. It is not owned by 300. It is owned by one corporation. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association owns that thing, and it was done that way deliberately. And I think the tax assessor could come in on our buildings. And Lisa, I think
I know on Cedar Mountain they're paying more on a 1 acre cabin sites tax wise than I am on 20 acres of Pierce Springs by far.
Mm-hmm.
So if they go to market value and comparative, we may end up paying.
Well, we know what the market value is, right? I mean, you're pretty active in the market.
Take Boulder, for instance. Those 1 acre lots are taxed at $235. Boulder, you want your taxes to jump on up to $300 or $400 a year.
That's not the way it works. I mean, it's based on the market value of the land, and we know what the market value of 20 acres in Deer Springs is.
What is it?
It's about $25,000.
It's all on Triple R.
No, it isn't.
King County's assessor right now would put it about Triple R.
That's $75,000.
No. Hey, we're smoking. A sale of a lot, let's say at $25,000, that's not for the 20 acres. That's for the 20 acres. And
precisely.
So how much is the land?
They're inseparable. That's the point.
Right.
Irrevocably connected. You know, they're inseparably connected. That's what the restricted covenants say.
These are being taxed over here. And so if you pay tax on your 20 acres, that's what that land is that's the market value. When you paid the money, the $25,000, it included 20 acres of land and water rights, etc., and it included the membership. The membership is a total separate corporation that is paying its own way, unless you decide to not have to pay its own way. Right now, it's been paying its own way, taxed separately, valued separately, assessed separately. But, you know...
And that's what you convinced the assessor that it was, right? I mean, that's why it's set up the way it is. I mean,
start out, that's the way it is.
I mean, would the assessor accept that today? I mean...
They are accepting it.
Yeah, they are, basically, yeah.
Yeah, we've been through the State Tax Commission twice on the logic of what's happening at Deer Springs, and it's held true for all these years.
Whether it's legally correct or not, I don't know. You know,
it doesn't matter. If the other guys jumped in and did it a different way, then...
Well, all I'm saying is
all
that we could do it differently. Whether or not we want to do it differently is the question that I'm asking.
Is it a benefit to leave it on the green belt as much as possible? Is it a success at a lower rate?
From a member standpoint, I would certainly
tell there's more things. If we lose green belt, we lose our $3,000 wildlife permit right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm not suggesting that we'll need to lose the green belt. I mean, it's not clear to me that the two are connected. The question that I'm raising is one of ownership and whether or not the value.
I think what we'd have to do is, if we're paying $5,000 or $6,000 as association on our ground, if we take that and divide it by, if they don't change the dollar amount, and we peel off your two memberships or whatever, I don't know what you own now, and say your portion of that $5,000 of this money, if they would divide that out to everybody, is that going to be more than... Right now I'm paying my tax on my lot, and I'm paying an assessment that's helping pay that tax.
Some actual dollars, if we have the assessment, the 2,000 acres, we pay probably, what, $1,000 tax on all of that 2,000 acres. The other $4,000 we pay in taxes are on the buildings and the equipment. The buildings and the equipment are probably still going to be taxed to the corporation, and the $1,000 we save by the common area, losing that, and then between the group of us as members, kicking in another $25,000, I would vote strongly that we not rock the boat.
Well, your membership, you're paying $16 per person out of your membership.
It's about almost $17
actually.
Yeah. But that's pretty reasonable, actually, when you think about it.
It's extremely reasonable.
I mean, when we pay
that
out of our assessments, if we, I don't think we could get that 7 acres added onto our land, which is about what it runs to, for $17.
Oh, okay.
And that's not counting necessarily building improvements and so forth.
I think that some of you guys are missing the point here. I think what he's trying to say is that he's not saying that it's going to be a cheaper way. It's probably just going to say it's going to be $5,000 in our budget as an association. It's not going to be a cheaper way.
No,
he's not trying to say
not cheaper,
it's a cheaper way.
No,
well,
it
we're
increases
more
the
money.
Cost of the membership.
Yeah,
I recognize that. It's a concern to me. I mean, I'm not keen on paying taxes. I'm willing to pay my share, but I'm not keen on paying more. So this is not cheaper, but it is a way that we could get more money in our budget.
Well, let's get more money by raising money.
Here, well, okay, now that brings up an interesting point here. We've talked about leasing the commercial ground, or leasing part of the commercial ground. Now, you know, I'm no rocket scientist. I know a whole lot about two things. One is people and the other thing is firefighting. The rest of I just kind of just wander through life. Anyway, don't open that door, Chris. If we lease out the ground, aren't we changing the game in midstream? Because isn't that common ground that now we lease it for someone to put a store on, for example? They generate revenue. Doesn't that change the game for us? Now, can we maintain our tax exempt or our low tax status based upon the membership common ground thing? Or are we going to have to start, if we lease out a portion of the common ground, is that going to be taken away from our part of our green belts, for lack of a better term? You know, I think that every time you open one door, it's like a maze. You know, you open this door and you got this door. Or you're walking through a hall of mirrors. You know, I'm walking straight at one mirror and I can see my reflection in 100 different, I can think of 100 different ways that this thing kind of compounds itself. And so, there's a term, it says make hay slowly. I think that's what we got to do here. I haven't heard anything here today that I disagree with. I mean, I haven't. And I can tell you that it's been a long time since I've been here that I haven't disagreed with something. But I see that there's, for every time, you know, we need to play devil's advocate with each other and make sure that when we make a step in a direction, for example, what Shawna just said, let's try to bring this money on, you know, in a different way. We need to make sure that every one of those other steps is covered. Because we can't afford, and I won't be, and I'm not suggesting anyone else here would be, I won't be part of anything that's illegal or immoral.
You're not going to raise roads and 20 acres like everybody else.
No, but what I'm saying,
that doesn't count.
My point to you guys is this. You know, you've made some significant progress today, at least as far as I see it, as far as in agreement with getting things done. And I think that if Val takes an area, for example, the horses, and Dale takes an area, for example, the cabin, and maybe someone else would want to take an area and
maybe we were talking about sheep or goats?
Yeah, it's goats.
Goats,
yeah,
goats. Goats and cattle.
That's my area. Goats.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I want to see you guys do is, as long as all the bases are covered, I think we'll be fine. But Larry brought up an interesting point. Now, see, for me, I have just enough money that I don't, you know, I don't care if they double my taxes. I don't care if gas goes to $5 a gallon. And you know why? Because I don't drive hardly at all, and that just keeps more people away from Deer Springs because they won't afford to drive out there. But that's not realistic, and we can't do everything just for me. But what we need to do is looking at this. I'm afraid if we make too many jumps, you know, we make. You know, I was watching Joe play chess with some guy the other day, and you can see that little wisp of steam coming out of his ears because he's thinking like 3 moves ahead. And I think that we can't afford to think 3 moves ahead here. We need to make a move. We need to consider all the contingencies. Make a move. Consider all the contingencies. Make a move.
And I want that.
Hey, Brent.
I'd like to ask Brent to email us all. I mean, what you're saying is kind of we need to come up with a guideline of okay, when we look at whatever program it is, horses or cabins or trail riding or wildlife or whatever. Okay, one of the concerns was legality, state, local, whatever licensing needs to be. Another was effects upon the membership in general, utilization, ability, or whatever. Anyway, I'd like to challenge you to make that list, 4 or 5 things, email it to us. I think for whatever program any of us want to come up with, we could probably come up with a general list of things that have to be satisfied
in order to
even consider it. And if somebody comes up with a proposal, they have to show that they have met those things, or I guess it's always open to debate, you know. But anyway, I like what you're saying. I'm saying, okay, Brent, you be specific. You know, come up and give us that list.
So in other words, any program that we present to the board that we discuss for the membership
these specific objectives have to be met.
Have to be met.
Legal, licensing, membership effect in terms of those items and how it might affect in our decisions to accept.
And we might debate on those things. That's open to debate, but at least that's a starting point.
Jeff?
I'll make this one suggestion or I'll throw an idea out there. I just donated this walk-in freezer. It's worth about $10,000. We don't have to put it up. We could sell it. Maybe that money would buy a better kind of building. I don't know. I mean, is there, you people live in this town or this state, I mean, you know somebody that would like a walk-in freezer.
How about would that be a good cabin?
For you, yes, Bob.
So that's an option we have. You know, it's here in St. George, and we can do with it as we wish.
If you want to go set it up in Lowe's parking lot, just unload it and spend it.
Just a suggestion. I won't pursue my property tax.
Trying to
get to move on. We've already said we did such it.
We've got to be leaving.